So our reading this morning comes from Hildegard of Bingen, who I mentioned at the beginning of our service. She's not generally thought of as part of our UU heritage, but I think that a lot of her work and her life very much speaks to our understanding of Unitarian Universalism today. So I've decided to bring her in. And she is the source of inspiration for our service today. And as we'll learn later in the sermon, she was a 12th century Benedictine nun, author, mystic, and musician. And this poem that I will read for us is called Viriditas, which is her concept that combines the Latin words of green and truth. And I think this work beautifully affirms our interconnectedness with Earth, as well as joyfully affirms our place here on this planet. So she writes, "I am the one whose praise echoes on high. I adorn all the earth. I am the breeze that nurtures all things green. I encourage blossoms to flourish with ripening fruits. I am led by the Spirit to feed the purest streams. I am the rain coming from the dew that causes the grasses to laugh with the joy of life. I call forth tears. I am the yearning for good." So I spent a few moments before service today by a park by my apartment in Monrovia. I was taking my dog on a walk. And I took a moment to breathe in the smells of the flowers, to watch the tree branches sway in the wind, and to take note of the many little flying things zipping in and around it all. It's amazing to take note of the things that have grown taller and wider, that have gotten pruned back, and have been planted anew. The many colors of the rainbow were represented along the path that I walked. There were tall bushes and trees and short, squat flowers, too. There were a couple bees buzzing by and a few butterflies pollinating. And of course, as I'm sure, there were many compost heaps around the community, with it all breaking down, the cycle of life beginning again from all that had wilted and died. From death comes life, and on it goes. And sometimes I need to slow down to appreciate the majesty of nature, because it so often informs our understanding of spirituality and community. It's a source of inspiration and hope. And that park garden is most certainly alive. It's a kinetic, creative place that requires many hands to keep it thriving and verdant. A sort of viriditas exists in that garden space, and surely within the gardens that some of you may tend at home or in your neighborhoods. And that word which we've mentioned is coined by Hildegard of Bingen. It's a combination of the words green and truth, and speaks to the creative power of life. And as Hildegard wrote, viriditas is an essential feature of the sacred, as well as something each one of us has inherently within us. The greening power of life is in us and around us, always. But can we really learn something relevant from a 12th century Benedictine abbess from Germany? I think the answer is yes, but you might have to stick with me for a minute. Her theology, her writing, her music, they all speak into our understanding of life and the beyond as Unitarian Universalists. And so on this autumn Sunday, Hildegard reminds us of our interconnectedness to everything around us. Her work is a beautiful illustration and echo of our seventh principle, that which states our respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. You see, Hildegard found God and great inspiration in the natural world around her. She also leaned into the complexities of life, with viriditas being a beautifully layered concept. As we read, or we heard earlier, I am the one whose praise echoes on high. I adorn all the earth. I am the breeze that nurtures all green things. I am led by the Spirit to feed the purest streams. I call forth tears. I am the yearning for good. These words are a sort of definition of viriditas. It's a grand affirmation and proclamation, a statement of identity and purpose. And it's full of joy, full of love, full of promise. I think there's something for us to learn here, something prescient for the time and age we are in now. How might we embody the yearning for good? How might we adorn all the earth? And so as we ponder these questions, I think it's important for us to understand who the person of Hildegard was in her time. How did this woman, living in a quiet and closed community nearly 900 years ago, become someone whose life and work continues to have promise in our world today? She was born in 1098 in West Franconia, which we now know as Germany. And today we would see she was born close to the Belgian border on the western portion of the country. She was the 10th child born into a fairly wealthy family, but she faced adversity from a young age. She dealt with chronic illness that was debilitating and disruptive. Scholars now believe she may have had chronic migraines, which were not understood well in that time. So at age 8, her parents sent her away to a Benedictine monastery that had just recently added a section for women. She lived under the care of a female resident, and Hildegard's parents said she was now the family's, quote, tithe to God. Talk about a lot of expectation, right? So in time, the convent where Hildegard was grew, and more women joined their ranks. And it's important to note that convents at this time were perhaps the one place in Western society where women were able to learn to read, write, study, and grow their intellect and interests. Without the pressures of raising and rearing children, women in the convent had the opportunity to instead focus their interests elsewhere. And Hildegard, she took this opportunity and she ran with it. She was a voracious reader, pouring into philosophy and science. And it didn't stop there. She loved music and composition. Her work, Ordo Virtutum, is a play set to music. So while it's not exactly an opera, many scholars believe that without this piece, we may not have opera as we know it today. Her work planted the seed for this entire field of musical creativity and creation. And it was that creativity, intellect, and leadership which primed her to take on the role of head of the convent in 1136 at age 38. And so as she took the helm, she made another radical move. She convinced the church leadership to allow the women to move their convent about 18 miles away, out of the shadow of the men's monastery. This gave Hildegard and the women of the convent considerable freedom during a time when that was almost unheard of. And as you might expect, she gained some enemies within the hierarchy of the church. She was accomplished in many fields. By many accounts, we should consider her a polymath. And she did not back down from her belief in what was right. And of course, she was a woman. And in one major flashpoint, she approved the burial of a man who had been excommunicated by the church for what she felt were political reasons. Hildegard ensured that he had last rites and was able to be laid to rest at the convent. She told the male church authority that God was on her side in this debate, that their politics did not supersede the human need for a proper burial for this person. And so when the church authorities discovered she had defied them and allowed the man to be buried at her monastery, they excommunicated the entire convent and barred them from singing, which was perhaps even more painful to them. The authorities also demanded the body be exhumed. But Hildegard, defiant as ever, refused the exhumation and instead appealed to a higher authority. Eventually, the excommunication and rule against singing was lifted. Talk about a life, right? Hildegard was unabashed about her beliefs and maintained an integral connection to her understanding of the sacred, to her understanding of God. And of course, we have to mention she was a human being like any of us. She wasn't perfect. She still held many beliefs about the role of women and the authority of church that would fly in the face of our understandings today. But her commitment to something beyond the trappings of human institution and the rules of the day remain an inspiration. Her work continues to influence and empower. And her concept of viriditas continues to hold an essential truth that can inspire today. Because of her view of an intrinsic connection with nature around her, she became an expert in holistic medicine, understanding that just as humans can nurture and heal the earth can nurture and heal humanity. In another piece, she wrote, "I blaze above the beauty of the fields. I shine in the waters. I burn in the sun and the moon and the stars. And with the airy wind, I quicken all things to life, as with an invisible life that sustains them all. For the air lives in viriditas and in the flowers, and the waters flow as if alive. And the sun lives within its own light. And when the moon has waned, it is rekindled by the light of the sun and lives anew. And the stars shine forth in their own light as though alive." She understood that there is more to a blade of grass than just its small stature and green color. There is a sacred aliveness in that blade of grass, and its existence is integral to the balance of life all around it. It is just as essential to the fabric of life as she is as a human being. Hildegard was telling us that the cure for what ails us as a society is all around us. We just have to pay attention. I think tending to all that is around us teaches us an exceptionally simple but important lesson. We all need tenderness, time, and care, just like the flowers in the garden. We all live through times of verdancy and times of fallowness. We all have times of pruning and times of growth, times of independence and times of cooperation. And at the time of death, our being makes way for more life. Couldn't our world use a little more viriditas right now? Its wisdom is simple and true. The greening power of life surrounds all of us and is within all of us. So, church, this morning I ask, to what and to whom do you channel your creative greening power? What areas of your life need some pruning? What do you need to offer more water and sunshine to within yourself? And how can our connection to the sacred empower and embolden this work? I pray that as alive, kinetic, and creative your favorite gardens are, we can embody that in ourselves and in the world around us. Church, may we be the people who adorn all the earth, who feed the purest streams, who call forth tears, and are the very yearning for good. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.